new countywide food and beverage tax kicks in this Thursday. The 1% tax is being applied to hot foods and foods comprised of two or more ingredients that are sold as a single item. Though county officials passed the tax into law in December, some still have concerns about its effect on low and fixed income individuals. County Councilmember Marty Hawk is especially concerned about the effect the tax will have on seniors.
Many of them eat out because it, in the long run, it, they feel like it's cheaper than trying to go to the grocery store and prepare a meal. Perhaps they're living in a one-person household, and it's no longer as convenient for them to try to prepare a meal at home. And not only that, it's better socially for our seniors to be able to interact with others as well. So many of them eat out, but it certainly is not that they're eating out in fine dining places, and many of them order the smaller meals, less expensive meals. So does this mean then that perhaps they'll not order that cup of coffee, or maybe they'll have only a sandwich rather than having what they would call a plate lunch? So
Councilmember Jeff McKim says it's difficult to measure the long-term effect the tax will have on fixed and low-income individuals, but he says there are options.
The example that keeps getting brought up is rotisserie chicken. You know, the hot rotisserie chicken in a grocery store is considered a prepared food, and so it's susceptible to sales tax. So right now, people who buy it pay 7%, they'll pay 8%. But for that exact same item at Kroger's, you can get the exact same rotisserie chicken, except cold, already cooked, but cold, exact same chicken with a different barcode, and it's not taxable at all. So, you know, there's options for things like that. You can choose the lower-priced item and not only save the 1% food and beverage, but actually save the sales tax.
The county adopted the tax to help pay for expanding the Bloomington-Monroe County Convention Center. The expansion is currently estimated to cost $72 million and would include a new Embassy Suites hotel. However, the cost of the hotel is expected to be carried by a private hotel developer. The food and beverage tax ordinance allows for a portion of the proceeds to be funneled to special projects.
In the agreement signed by both the letter of intent signed by the city and the county, specifies that the city will pledge all of its money, all of its revenues in food and beverage towards the convention center expansion, and that the county is permitted to pledge its revenues towards other projects that fit within the law, which is basically tourism and economic development projects outside of the city. And so the amount, like I said, we won't know until we start generating some collections. And then there's also another wrinkle in that the statute requires a 7-person advisory commission that has to agree with any of those expenditures. So, and that commission hasn't even fully been formed yet. That commission includes a county commissioner, a county councilor, the mayor, a city councilor, and three owners of businesses that are subject to the food and beverage tax. So they would have to agree on any expenditure.
Hawk says it's worrying three seats are appointees and not filled by elected representatives of the people. Furthermore, she says there is nothing in statute that would help officials settle a tie. McKim acknowledges Hawk's concern, but says he's confident the officials will come to consensus on the appointees. As for funneling the food and beverage tax, As for funneling food and beverage tax revenue into special projects, both Hawk and McKim say there are no such projects on the table currently, but both say parks and trail projects would be likely candidates if there were money left over. In the meantime, they say they'll be happy to see the tax succeed at what it was designed to do, fund the convention center expansion.